the personal work you did for him? What type of work was that?
For instance, his will, we'd redo it about once a year for sure, maybe twice a year.
Then one day he announces, I think, to you that Edith, his daughter, is coming back.
Yeah, he does. That was in the late 60s, I guess. He said, she'll need an attorney. Could you represent her? I said, of course. He said, okay, we'll have lunch. So he took us lunch up at the bake club, the three of us. Then I started working with her.
She worked at the newspaper here for a while.
Well, she did. She went to Colorado College, and they sent her up to, she graduated from Wells up in New York, and then she went with the AP.
The Associated Press.
In New York. There weren't very many women with the Associated Press at that time, but Eleanor Roosevelt started having press conferences in Washington. And one day she announced at her press conferences she wanted women to come to the conferences.
Was it only women, or she wanted a woman in the room? She wanted at least a woman in the room.
Well, that's probably what, anyway, while AP started running around, they didn't have anybody. I mean, they were all men. So anyway, here is Edith up in New York working for AP, and I guess she's doing pretty good work. And somebody said, well, we've got this little gal up here, this little Jewel. They sent her down to Washington. So she started working with Eleanor Roosevelt. They became old buddies, great friends. She also worked with Madame Chiang Kai-shek, wife of the president of China during World War II. But anyway, she and Edith became great friends. Edith was there. She became president of the Women's Press Association.
She did in 1944.
Yeah, she got established, I guess, later on. It merged with
the National Press Club?
Yeah, and her picture's up the National Press. We were up there this summer.
Is that right?
Yeah, as one of the presidents.
Did she talk about Eleanor to you and tell you stories about her?
They were just friends. Of course, she admired her. Edith was much, much younger than Mrs. Roosevelt.
The president, FDR, died in April of 1945.
Yes.
So she would have been there to cover that death of the president.
Yeah, she was there. Then, like I told you, Madame Chiang Kai-shek, during the war, was in the United States. Madame made a tour across the country, and Edith went with her. And I think Eleanor Roosevelt had set that up.
So then either she wanted to come back or her father asked her to come back.
She wanted to come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she comes back to be with her father. And how was that relationship? They were close, were they?
Oh, yeah. They had the same birthday, March 5th. They were real close.
So then when she comes back, people started asking her for gifts, I suppose, because they knew of the wealth that was there and charity.
Yeah. This is one of the things that she needed help with at EK saw. I think the first thing she did when she came back, she went on the board of Sunbeam. Then she got some liquidity in the late 60s, early 70s. They had a big interest in a paper mill down in Texas that spun it off the stockholders. So when they stole it, this gave her a substantial amount of liquidity right then. And so then she started making these substantial gifts. She made them anonymously. None of the Gaylords ever wanted any publicity on anything they did. They were just very sensitive as to that, which I thought was a mistake. Of course, 30 years old, I wasn't going to say that. But looking back, I just think it's a mistake because a lot of people didn't know what they did. They thought they were arrogant and stingy and everything else. Well, they weren't. They were very, very generous people. But they just didn't want anybody to know what they were doing. And Edith, if somebody had come to her and tell her that we're trying to raise X for some project, and it would really help if we could use your name that you gave, she'd never refuse them. But as far as going out and trying to solicit publicity for herself and the family or anything else, it was taboo.
Mr. Gaylord, too, he enjoyed giving, that was anonymous, too.
Yeah, he never told anybody anything. When he was doing his will, he said, how can we keep this quiet, you know, after I'm not here?
So then she sets up two trusts.
Yes, she does.
Two foundations.
1982.
They then were?
Inasmuch in Ethics and Excellence in Journalism. Set them up at the same time. Sonny, she came down and she said, I've got a name I'd like for one of them. She said, I'd like for it to be called Inasmuch Foundation. She said, you know what that means? I said, well, I don't have the faintest idea. She said, well, now think. You can figure that one out. well. I couldn't. Anyway, it was Matthew.
When Jesus is talking.
Yes, as much as you do for these least of my brethren, you do for me. That's what she wanted to call. She wasn't religious at all. In fact, I don't ever recall seeing her in a church in my life, but she wanted that very much.
What was the mission of that foundation?
To do all the good deeds except as pertained to journalism. So it would be for health, education, welfare, anything you can think of, except as pertains to journalism. And that's exactly where we are today.
And then the mission of the Journalism Foundation.
Which is what it says. It's ethics and excellence in journalism. We support all over the country on that. Inasmuch, it is pretty much limited to Oklahoma with just a little bit out in Colorado. But on journalism, it'd be nice if we could do more here, but it's all over the country, and that's the way she wanted it. And in fact, Edith, she wanted it as much for Oklahoma, but she would specifically do things that were beyond that. For instance, they had a terrible flood in Africa where UNESCO put out a plea for help. It was a very large amount. She called me up and said, let's get that up there quick, because they need it. They had a tsunami somewhere, and same deal on that. I mean, when there'd be a major calamity worldwide, and help was needed, she wanted to be in on that, too. And then all her other things, if people had projects, she liked to match. She'd always rather see 100 people give $10 than one person give $1,000. That meant a lot more to her.
So that more people could get involved. Yeah, and have the feeling of giving and helping, and she would match that then to double it.
She would, or triple it, or whatever needed to be done to get it done. Like, I know she had a project one time up at OSU, and a number of professors gave in the hundreds, and some students gave tens. And I think we raised, I'll say, $10,000, and Edith gave the other 90 for the project, but she was thrilled, especially on the students.
She was teaching students to give, to learn to give.
She was. She just felt that that was so important, which obviously it is.
And so it made her very happy to see those results and then to see projects that were being built or developed, to see the outcome of those projects.
Oh, at the last, her health completely failed in the last 5 years of her life. She hardly ever left the house, but she just got the greatest joy out of getting the report on what her funding had done for people and projects. She was very intuitive. She really was.
She had a brother.
Edward Lewis. And she had a sister, Virginia Neely.
And politically?
She and her brother were not akin at all. I always told everybody Edith made Karl Marx look like one of the pharaohs. And Ed made one of the pharaohs look like Karl Marx. They were very fond of each other, but don't get them started on politics.
Would you ever be around those discussions?
Well, no, because they were around each other when they had them. It didn't work. But she'd read the paper where he'd be doing something, and I'd hear from him.
Because he became the publisher of the paper.
After E.K. died, right. He became the publisher. Edith was on the board. I mean, they just got along great, but just don't get them off on the conservative or liberal factors, because sparks would fly.
But now her father, E.K.,
is conservative, too.
Very conservative.
He is conservative.
So did you know if Edith and her father had those kind of clashes or conversations?
I don't think they did. I mean, he'd just say, oh, well, that foolish girl, she doesn't know what she's doing. And she'd say, oh, well, I'll take care of him, but he's over the hill. In her mind, I'm just making that up because neither one of them ever said anything specifically about that, but I do know that Ed and Edith were certainly divided on that.
Well, she was the one who advanced women's rights, the underprivileged NAACP.
She came back here and immediately got involved with the NAACP. And, of course, all women's rights. I guess it'd be a breach of ethics if I told you the things she did along those lines, even in her own family. She certainly wanted to make sure that the girls had plenty of say in everything, and it wasn't just left up to the men.
Point well taken. And you wonder if some of her thought processes were formed by her relationship with Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, she just naturally thought that way, but certainly had to be encouraged by her.
I'm sure they were.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were, because I don't think women were that strong unless they were in a position of some power. Of course, Eleanor Roosevelt, she just gave the directive, and they were good friends. Mrs. Roosevelt was a mentor to her, and Streeter Flynn was to me.
Did you develop a relationship with Edward L.?
Yeah, it just didn't work to have Edith. And I mean, we did. I mean, obviously, I represented it for the publishing company matters. Of course, he was executor of his dad's estate and worked together all those years. Everything just went fine, but he knew I was committed to Edith, as I told E.K. I would be. Ed knew that. I enjoyed working with him. I think he enjoyed working with me.
But you'd become like best friends with Edith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, she was a dear friend.
Like an older sister, maybe,
too. Well, yeah, it was. And I mean, the family, she didn't have any children. She liked my children.
She did marry, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. Harper, and that didn't work out too well. It didn't work out at all, as a matter of fact. They were divorced just before she came back here.
So then she lived the rest of her life as a single person.
Yeah.